Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. And like Laura said, it's a gloomy day, but the sun is shining in here, and we have every reason to be joyful and happy. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. John 15, 13 and 14. Actually, I'm going to read down through 16 today. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. I'm going to start at verse 12. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. In verse 17, this is what I command you, love one another. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, today, Lord, I ask and pray that you will plant within us that seed of love, that, Father, we will serve one another just as Jesus came as a servant and served us and gave his life for us and showed us what true and real love is. And God, through the message this morning, have your way, Lord. Speak to us what we need to hear, and let every word come from you, Heavenly Father. And God, we praise you and thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to try to get through these allergies this morning. My throat gets like this about this time of year. I find it interesting that we as children of God, I wonder if we realize how important that title is to us, that we are children of God. Now, each one of us had a set of earthly parents, but we have a Heavenly Father who calls us not only His children, but there is another word given that Jesus says we are. Jesus says that we are His friends. The Bible says that Jesus is a friend who will stick closer than any brother. Now, you might have a lot of ideas as to what a friend might be. Now, growing up, when we were kids, all of us probably had one, two, maybe three or four best friends, or maybe one good, close best friend. Somebody that we could rely on. Somebody that we knew would always be there for us through thick and thin, through the good and the bad. Somebody that, you know, even if we got into an argument, we'd still love them and we could make up, you know, quickly. But I don't think that type of friendship really compares to what we have with our Heavenly Father. First thing I want to look at this morning about friendship is laying down your life for somebody. Now, I'm not talking about dying for someone. Now, the greatest thing Jesus did for us, now Jesus did lay down his physical life. Jesus died on a cross, taking our sins upon him. And I will say this, there are people who join the military who die for their country, because they believe in something so deeply, they are so committed. I've known men and women to go in the military, and they say, I would die fighting for my country. And I have a lot of respect for those people. And I'm very thankful for every veteran that has served and given their life. But most importantly, I am thankful for my friend Jesus the greatest friend I'll ever have, the greatest friend I'll ever need, who gave his life, laid it down so that we could have life and that we would have life more abundantly. See, when Jesus laid down his life, it wasn't just a coincidence or a temporary thing. I mean, this is something that gave us great power, something that has lasted and will go for all of eternity. Jesus is eternal. But in us laying down our life for our friends means that we are giving of ourselves. Doesn't mean that you physically die for them, but it means that God has placed somebody or certain people in your life. And when I'm saying by laying down your life, you're giving up everything about you. You're forgetting about your needs, your wants, and your desires, and you start to focus on somebody or some people that God has placed in your life, and you would be so committed that you would do anything to meet the needs that these people have. Now, for our friends, the Alsips, back a few months ago, Becky was taking care of her husband. He's very, very sick. They had to take one of his legs due to the diabetes and his sickness. And so Keith could not get out and do things like he used to. And Janine came to me one night and she said, "You know what? I want to go to Keith and Becky's house and I want to prune up their landscape. I want to prune the trees and cut back bushes." I said, "Honey, that's a great idea." So something like this is what I'm talking about. When you see somebody that's got a need, and whether it be witnessing to somebody or there's been a death in the family or sickness, you reach out to comfort and to show love. Now, Matthew 16:25 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." See, we have life in Jesus. Now, if Jesus gave his life for us, he also gave his life as a servant. Jesus, he traveled a lot of the times. He didn't have a home. Jesus said that he didn't have a place to lay his own head. But Jesus walked and traveled many places to do the Father's will. And if you notice what Jesus did in his ministry, Jesus did it with love. And you know that if we don't have love, then the things that we do for people, they don't mean nothing. So when we're giving our lives to somebody, we have to have the love of the Lord working inside of us so that we're able to give ourselves to other people. The Bible teaches that we should give up our lives for the sake of others. Now, yesterday, people that were coming up, I just went up to them. If I was outside, I just walked up to them. I'm not afraid to say hi and start talking to people. And I don't know if anybody noticed yesterday, we had a group of young people came up, and they four of them got out of a SUV, and they walked over, and as they started, they were nice young people. But I noticed a satanic star on some necklaces as they walked up. And I thought, wow, what an opportunity. So I just went up, I introduced myself and started talking to them. And by the time they left, I had invited them to come to church. But everybody that came yesterday or any time during the yard sale, that I got to witness to, or anybody else got to witness to, we were giving of ourselves for the sake of that person. We don't know a lot of people's lives. We don't know what's going on, like they would say, behind closed doors. But if we will say, "Lord, I pray that you would put me in the path of somebody who needs my help," I guarantee you that God will start to open doors. Now, in ministry, God has placed me in places that I thought I would never enter. I have encountered people I thought I would never, I've had things happen to me that I thought would never ever happen. But you know, the Lord has been there time and time and again. And when God calls us to give our lives for other people, do you know that God, He even equips us when we have to go serve others? There's been times that God has put me in places to do something. And I said, well, God, I don't know how I'm going to meet that need because I don't have the resources available. And the Lord has asked me, do you trust me? And I said, yes, Lord, I do trust you. Then the Lord would say, if you trust me, then you watch what I'm going to do. Now, when the Israelites, and I talked about this last Sunday, when the Israelites were getting hungry and they were griping and complaining because Moses had taken them out, and they thought that Moses had taken them out, that they were going to die, but they were hungry, what did God do? God provided manna for them to eat. I mean, God provides every time. So in the moments that I've had these situations, I've said, okay, Lord, show me what you can do. I believe that you're going to come through. And every time, God has always used either another church or a family or an individual and has actually come to me and said, well, God told me that you were in need of this or that I could be of service in some way. What could I do to help? And it's always neat to see God answer prayers in those ways. Real friendship, though, is when you lay down your life for somebody else. And you know, you can give your life to somebody through prayer. There's so many people that I know in my life that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I pray for them every single day. And I have to trust the Lord that He is taking care of the situations in their life. Now, friendship is given. It's not exchanged. The Bible does not tell us that the greatest love in exchange of one's life for that of another. It says that we give it with nothing in exchange. So when we do things, when we lay down our life and to serve the Lord, we should never expect anything in return. Now, when I was younger and dumb in the ministry, I used to think when somebody would ask me to do something, I used to think, what am I going to get out of this? What benefit will, if there's no benefit to me, then why am I even here? That was my thinking when I was young and immature. When I started to put myself out there to be used by the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't need anything in return. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'll go do it. I don't care if I get paid. I don't care if I get anything at all. I've had people offer things, and I've said, no, I wanted to bless you. But I have watched God create friendships and create lasting relationships in my life that have been more golden than a green dollar bill or anything else. I've even had people that I've done things for who remembered the deed, and at some point later on in life would run into them and they would come and tell me, hey, do you remember that thing that you helped me with or you prayed with me? Well, I want to tell you what happened some years later. I love to hear the testimonies that people share with me. We do not win friends, but friends give themselves to us. Matthew 26:50 says, and Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Jesus was a friend to everybody. And you know, the one person I want to point out that Jesus was really a friend to was Judas. Now, Judas gave up Jesus. He told them where Jesus would be, where they could arrest him. And Judas received money for Jesus' life. And Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, but Jesus still remained a friend to Judas. Now, there's a lot of Judases in our life. There's people in your family. There's people in the church. There's people where you work. There's people you encounter in life that they will betray you. They will hurt you. They will say negative things or whatever, or they're going to do something that just crosses you the wrong way. And what is our first reaction? Our first reaction is to get angry, to get mad, and puff ourselves up and say, I'm never speaking to you ever again. And I think I preached about this about 3 or so weeks ago, about that happening in the church, and that's why we see First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third, Fourth, 20th Baptist, and things like that on down the line, because people get mad at one another and there's no forgiveness. And Jesus said that we have to forgive just as God forgives us of our sins. And if we want our sins forgiven, then we have to forgive everybody else. Now, I've had people do some pretty dirty things to me. Yesterday, Stephen and I were talking, and he shared something that happened to him and Sue at a church up north and what they'd done to him. And, well, it didn't come as a surprise to me because I know, being in the ministry, how that can be. And Stephen said something that really sparked my curiosity, and then it made sense. He said, I stay mad, or just it bothers me for just, he said, just a short time, and he said, then I'm done with it. He said, I put it behind me. He said, because he said, when I want to go to bed, I want to go to sleep, and I want to get up the next day, and I want to look ahead at what God has basically for my life. And I thought, that is the greatest thing. So when people do a Judas type of thing to us, when people betray us or hurt us, then what should our reaction be? Well, we can't hate them. We can't not forgive them, but we have to love them. We have to show love to every single person that's around us. And, you know, my wife and I, you know, we go through the tough times like any other married couple would, but I still love her and I forgive her. And if we have a disagreement, well, you know, we just walk away and I go pray, and then I come back and say, honey, I'm sorry. That's the greatest thing you could say. Whether you're in the wrong or not, the greatest thing you could ever say by laying your life down for somebody is to say, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened between us, but I am sorry. Don't go, well, I'm just going to wait for Harold to come and apologize to me first. So I'm not talking to him on Sunday when I go to church. I'm going to ignore him, and it's going to hurt him. And then you see that person laughing and carrying on, and you're like, well, I'm mad at them. They're supposed to be miserable because I'm not speaking to them. Well, I'm still not going to speak to them until they come and apologize to me. Reminds me of 2 5-year-olds arguing over a toy in kindergarten class is what it reminds me of. But the reaction should be, hey, Harold, I did something wrong, or there was something happened between us, and it doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong or who started or who did. I'm sorry, and I love you. You're my friend, and I want it to remain that way. That's one of the greatest ways I think that we could lay our life down for somebody else, is by showing love and kindness and forgiveness and mercy. If you think of all that God has shown us in our life, I mean, we deserve hell. We deserve it. We sinned as human beings, but God's mercy and grace and love and forgiveness caused His Son to lay His life down. And that's what Jesus is requiring of us, lay our life down. One thing I love about this church, people here lay their life down to serve. And that's a wonderful testimony. It really is. So, we should be loving and forgiving as Jesus was to every Judas we ever encounter. There are people that don't like me, and that's okay. I love people. I may not jive with people's situations or whatever, their lifestyle, but I'm going to love them anyway. Just like those people showed up with the Satanist necklaces on, or they were satanic stars. It didn't matter to me. I was glad to see him here. I was just kind of like, ooh, wow, hey, here's a chance to, an opportunity to witness. Tell someone about Jesus. And I did. I took that opportunity. So if we show the love that Jesus showed to Judas, if we show that to other people, love is what's going to make things happen in our life. And the thing that I really enjoyed about when we went to the Alsop's house, now Janine didn't enjoy the one part of it. She ended up getting poison ivy all up one arm, and she was miserable for about 2 weeks, and it was pretty bad. I didn't get it. I don't know how, because I'm allergic to it. But anyway, the greatest joy that we got out of it, Keith came outside in his power chair, and he had a smile from this ear to that ear. And the only thing he had to say was, thank you. That's all he had to say. And I said, you're welcome, buddy. And he come around front. I'd been pruning up on some trees up front. Janine had been pruning on some trees. And we were picking all the branches and all the waste up and carrying it back to where they want us to make the pile. And he went up and down the sidewalk in that power chair, smiling. And Janine said to me, well, I wonder if Becky will like it. I wonder what she will think. I said, well, I know she's going to love it. And she told us a few days later, thank you. I love what you did. And that left a lasting impression on our hearts, just hearing the word thank you and seeing the smiles on their face. Knowing that you did something for somebody else, that's worth more than any amount of money in the bank. Now, friendship is not a relationship. Friendship is not a relationship. What friendship is, it's the mortar that holds the relationship together. Now, we have brick out here on this building. There's mortar. What does that mortar do? Holds them bricks together. If we have love, companionship, friendship in God's family, then friendship will be the mortar that holds us together. See, God's love and friendship is the mortar that holds us together as His people. And God wants us to look to Him daily. God wants us to keep our eyes focused on Him, because you and I can't make it through life any other way. We could try to do things on our own, but we're going to fall flat on our face. And if we don't have God's love, then we won't have friendship. And you know what's going to happen to those relationships? They're going to crumble. If these bricks out here weren't taken care of and the mortar, you know, attended to, you ever notice on a brick building what happens? Bricks start falling out. Kind of like what's going on in churches today. You see people falling out of church. People going other places, or they stay home. And are we going after these people, and are we caring for them? That's what we should be laying our lives down for, is other people that aren't going to church or people that aren't saved. That should be our number one that we go after. And if we would show love and compassion to these people and say, we miss you, we would love to have you back. Now, for me, if somebody misses one Sunday, well, that's a, you know, but if they miss a couple Sundays, I'm going to give them a call. Hey, is everything okay? I just want to let you know that we have missed you and that we love you. And that makes such a big impact right there. And they'll come back and say, I appreciate that phone call. Or I appreciate the card. Or I appreciate the text message, whatever it is. But if we would show love to people that start falling away out of the church, or if we would go after the ones that need to be in church, we would see relationships being built upon and built upon. I was talking with Effie last Friday when we were here, and we was talking about Sunday school. This is my belief. I believe this through the Lord, too, that we'll start having Sunday school again. And those classrooms will have kids in them. And you might say, well, no, wait, it's been a while. I never underestimate God. Please, don't take this the wrong way, but please don't look at me as a superhero that could do it. I'm not a superhero. But I know somebody in heaven who can direct my path, and I will follow His path day after day. Lord, what do You want me to do? How do You want me to do it? Who do You want me to go visit? Because every time I pray like that, boy, does He ever open the doors. But if I go out aimlessly and say, well, I think I'm just going to go pick any Joe off the street, well, if I'm not doing God's will, like I said, I'll fall flat on my face. But if we as a church would start praying together and start believing together and make it a daily prayer, God, we want our Sunday school rooms to be filled again. We want to hear the laughter of children and to hear their feet in the church. And Lord, we want young people. We need young people to take over in the church. They're our future. They are the church's future. Because you know what? As us older folks, you know, when we start, you know, it destined that when we start to die off, we got to have that younger generation to carry on the name of the churches we've been a part of for so long. So in order to do that, we have to cement our relationships together. You know, I have to lay my life down every day for my wife. I have to take care of her needs. But first, I have to lay my life down before the Lord. I have to say, Lord, I crucify that flesh to the cross today because I want to live by the Spirit. So help me, Lord. Show me, guide me, I pray, and give me the strength to do what You've called me to do, because He always does it. And Lord, for the people at Bosque Dale Church, what do You want me to do, Lord? Help me to be there. Help me, Lord, to pray for them. Help me, Lord, to serve in whatever capacity. But for my wife, Lord, help me to be the love. Help me to be the strength. Help me to be the encourager she needs. Because that's one thing that's really important to me. But most importantly, and I've told my wife this, I love my wife with all my heart. And I would give my life for her. I would. I would take a bullet, whatever it is. I would give my physical life to save hers if that ever had to be the case. But I have to give my life every day for her, lay it down. But even though I love her that much, I love God the most, because that's what matters to me. We have to make changes in our life. If we want to see things happen, we have to make changes. One thing I've always preached over the last 35 years of ministry, if you want a church to grow, you got to change, and you got to make room for that growth. If you stay on one path the same way for years and you never grow, then what was the purpose? There's some people say, hey, we like it just this way. Don't change it. It's been this way for 30 years, 40 years, 50. Why change it now? Because God wants it to change. Does your life change every day? Yes. We get a day older. I get another gray hair. I get a little anchor pain here or there, and it's okay. But there's change, and I have to embrace that change. I'm not as pretty as I used to be. I don't think I ever was. I got some laughs. But, you know, the changes my body's going through, I accept it and I embrace it. And I say, okay, Lord, I can do this another day. And in our churches, we've got to say, Lord, where do You want the change to be? And that's why we have to pray it together and do it together. Lord, where do you want the changes to be? What do we need to do to make those changes happen? You've got to make the change to make the room for the growth, and you've got to embrace it. And when God brings about the change, all you're going to be able to do is smile and rejoice and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done here within this church. One thing my grandfather did as a pastor, boy, he wanted church to grow, and he was an evangelizer. And I think I got a lot of that out of him. I talk to people, and I invite people to come to church. Well, I've had a few come, and that's about it. But that's all right. If we start seeking the Lord and praying in agreement together, these seats will be filled up, and we'll see these Sunday school rooms. I believe it. How many of you believe it? Amen. Amen. That's great. We have to believe together. When you are a friend to somebody, when you lay your life down, you're giving probably one of the greatest things to somebody, the love of Jesus. And that's what matters the most. You know, I'm so thankful every Sunday when I get to come here. Very thankful. And I'm thankful for the relationships and the friendships that have been forged. Like I said, we kidded around yesterday, and that's all right. I hope nobody ever gets offended. I try not to offend anybody. I would never do that, seriously. But we kidded around yesterday, and we had a good time. And laughed. And when I went home yesterday, my heart was full. And I want to share something. Yesterday, Effie gave me two pieces of pumpkin cake. I gladly took it. That was good stuff. Lee and I got to invest in some of that yesterday. And I had plans on taking it home and sharing it with Janine. Well, she went to go help a woman at her house yesterday. And as I was driving by, I saw both of them outside, and God said, take them the cake. So, well, my little brain says, I'd rather go home and rest. It's been kind of a great day, but I'm tired. So I turned the truck around and went back, pulled up in the driveway, and there's Janine, and there Glenda's outside, and they just got done decorating, was putting stuff up in her garage. And Janine had a big smile on her face as I got out of the truck, and I had those two pieces of cake, and I was thinking about how good it was, and I thought, well, I could just leave them in the truck and get the caramel apples out that Sarah gave to me and just give them the caramel apple. And then I thought, no, the Lord said give them the cake. So we went in the house, and Glenda made coffee, and we sat down, and I want you to know we had the best time of fellowship together, talking and laughing. And Glenda said to me yesterday, she said, the lady that made this cake, tell her thank you. She said, this is so good. And Janine said, well, Effie made it. I didn't even tell Janine that you made it. But Janine said, Effie made it. I said, yes, she did. And I told Glenda, she makes and bakes a lot of things, and she gives to people. I said, if there's anybody, now I'm not just singling her out I'm not trying to leave anybody else out, but I'm just wanting to kind of dote on her just a second here. But Effie has a servant's heart. I've learned a lot from Effie since I've been here, and I thank God for her. And to say thank you, I wore her favorite tie today, and I wore a suit for her because I love her. But not only that, I love all of you too. And I want to see us do great things together. I want to see God move in mighty, mighty ways in our lives and in this church. How about you?